Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by infamous longtime returning guest, Kenny Jang. Kenny, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast.
Always great to be with you, Nils.
Yes. So, Kenny, you, first of all, you have become a blogging machine over the last 6 months, I'd say. Your blog has broken the internet in church communications. What ignited this unbelievable combustion of great content coming from you?
You know, it's just one of those things. I've been blogging for many years, and last year was one of my resolutions in 2016. So I blew up my blog. I actually deleted the old site, started from scratch, and then just got into a rhythm. So now I'm blogging at least I'm trying 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then adding on top of that. So like this week, you know, I had the energy, and so I'll have 5 blog posts out this week. But typically I'm trying to do one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Friday. It's been working out really well.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I look forward to it all the time. So, and I see the shares all over social media and Facebook specifically. I'm seeing the content posted everywhere, and you're creating such great graphics too for it. And like, you're the king of compelling titles. And I think there's an art there that church leaders really need to pay attention to. And I mean, I've told you this before, you're the king of press releases. And part of that, I think, is you're just, you know, what's going to catch people's attention in such a great way. So we're not talking about your great blog though. And I also want to talk by the end of the podcast about a new project that you're working on. But before that, I really just want to have an argument with you, on this podcast, because that's what we do. You know, Jay and I like to argue, and Kenny, you and I like to argue even more than Jay and I like to argue, I think. So you and I, you picked a fight with me on Facebook, and I just, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody about Snapchat. And so a lot of people are asking, is Snapchat the future? Instagram Stories has now, from an analytical standpoint, surpassed Snapchat engagement. And so I made a prediction on Facebook, and I hope I'm saying this right. This was literally, I was just sitting on my couch, you know, and just started typing a, you know, Facebook post, and then we kind of lit up a stream of comments in an argument. So I said, I believe that in the next year, like a future prediction, that Instagram, here's what I said. I should actually
be careful about your predictions.
Yeah. So I said that what Facebook was to MySpace, Instagram will be to Snapchat. So that was the core of what I was saying. And so what I said was that, so when MySpace introduced us to social media, almost everybody, you know, or kind of the core social media users got on MySpace. We learned how to interact socially online through MySpace. And then on Facebook came in. It wasn't prettier. It wasn't really better. It they had a great strategy of getting people over, but Facebook has become the norm of social media and crushed MySpace. Snapchat.
Yeah. What is MySpace?
It's actually, I went there yesterday because after that post, I was like, is MySpace still around? And it is. And it's a beautiful site. It's way prettier than Facebook. And their search is really pretty cool looking site. I don't know anybody that goes there. So Snapchat has introduced us to mobile storytelling. Is he saying, if I were to give it a name of what it is, because it's so different from Facebook and social media as we know it. And it has introduced this kind of new medium of how we engage socially. And now Instagram basically just ripped it off and just copied it. Didn't do it nearly as good as them. It's not nearly as pretty, but it has more engagement than Snapchat has. So I predicted that the same thing will happen. What happened to MySpace is going to happen to Snapchat. That's my core prediction. Then I predicted that Twitter is also going to make a comeback this next year.
I hope so.
Yeah, so those were kind of my core predictions of what's going to happen. I don't know if I made any other predictions, but those are probably my core predictions. I don't know how Twitter is going to make a comeback, but I think they're going to make some radical changes that are going to bring it back to relevance, especially as being a news feature. So you just jumped in and said, wrong, wrong, wrong.
I mean, yeah, it was less about picking a fight and more about just, you know, setting you straight and correcting you. That's all it was.
You set me straight. But tell me why I'm wrong, wrong, wrong.
Yeah. At the core, I think Snapchat is not MySpace. It's a completely different animal. And if you look at the culture, the leadership, and the innovation engine behind it, it's a completely different story. So I think Snapchat's going to win.
Tell me why.
Yeah, I think Snapchat is an innovator. They have a bias for action. They're agile. They don't play by the rules. Just even the platform itself didn't play by the rules. They're willing to put something out there that people didn't understand when it first came out.
But that was MySpace. That was MySpace. MySpace, there was nothing like MySpace before MySpace came out. They had to totally introduce people to MySpace. At the end of the day, people thought MySpace was really a website creator more than a social network.
Yeah, and today that's what it is, right? Especially for musicians. Right. But I think at the end of the day, Snapchat has innovation going for it. MySpace didn't continue to innovate, right? MySpace just stayed stagnant. That was the problem there. Yeah. I think for Snapchat, they are continuing to outpace everybody else, and they're introducing things that, here, let me put it another way. They understand the core of what relationships need in a messaging platform. Instagram, they're just copying and pasting without understanding the core, understanding the dynamics of the human need for communication to each other.
So let's dig into that a little bit. And I should have, I literally brought in the office my wife's Snapchat spectacles this morning to show them off. But
I love how you say that your wife's, right?
Yeah, they are my wife's. I put them on this morning and I was like, this is embarrassing. I cannot wear these. But they're pretty cool. I've got to say, I give Snapchat some credit on having some cool spectacles.
Well, what's the difference in that and Google glasses, right? My Google Glass, which cost $1,500, is the same thing as what you're doing. And it's what Gary Vee said, is that, you know, Snapchat is the only social network out there that has created its own brand and brand experience, and it's broken away from the pack for that reason.
Yeah. So here's a statement you said, and I took it on a tangent, is Snapchat has created the social experience that we need. I think that's what you said.
Yeah. Well, they understand that why did the kids flock to it, right? Why did they in mass overnight accrue a huge following? And it's because at the end of the day, and this is Snapchat for dummies, for anybody that's maybe 40 and older, right, that still doesn't get it, is basically it's text messaging with vids and pics. It's a fun way to do that.
Here's what people would say is it's that, but you can send dirty pics and vids because they disappear and it's too confusing for old people to use, so it keeps their parents away. So that's why they like it.
Yeah, I think that's maybe when it first came out was the PR talking point for it, but that clearly is not how it's being used. If you look at any tween, teen, or college student, young, even, you know, beyond millennials, that's not how they're using it.
Okay,
they're using it for everyday communication. They're using it as their inbox.
That's good. I agree. It is fascinating. And so I have forced myself over the last year and a half to learn it. My wife loves Snapchat, and she wholeheartedly disagrees with me. She's on Team Kenny in this argument.
Oh, it's good to be on the right side once again.
So on Team Kenny, so tell me, how will it play out with Snapchat and Instagram? What do you see happening on both sides of the fence? So you think Snapchat's going to continue to grow and thrive in the future?
Yeah, I think, like you said, there are too many variables to tell. There's enough margins on all corners of this game right now for innovation and stretching. I think Instagram right now is behind the eight ball. The pressure is for them to just leverage their current audience, which is aging, to be quite honest. And they're not capturing the imagination of the next generation. Mm. And so I think that's a liability on their side. That's another reason why Snapchat is continuing to be on the forefront.
Yeah, but they're behind the eight ball, but they're winning if you measure it by engagement, right?
Who's winning? Instagram?
Instagram had it surpassed the number of stories viewed, surpassed the number of stories on Instagram viewed, surpassed the number of stories viewed on Snapchat this last quarter. So you could say, based on the analytics, that Instagram is winning. What you're saying, though, is they're aging out, so they might peak now, but they're going to go back into decline because Snapchat's got such a handle on that maybe 13 to 25 year old.
Well, I think people are talking in this big debate that everyone's having about social media based on their feelings and their gut. They're not looking at the stats. One of the posts that I wrote recently that resonated with a lot of people was stats driven, and it was talking about, you know, why are you ignoring the three most important social networks out there, of which Snapchat and Instagram are up there, right? Some of the things that are surprising to most people when you reveal it to them is that the number of Snapchat users aged 25 and above, that segment is growing twice as fast as the ones under 25, right? 50% of all new Snapchat user accounts right now are above the age of 25.
Interesting. And
60% of Americans, 13 through 38, are actually on Snapchat. So how is that painting a picture of that they're losing the ground?
I don't know. I think regardless, both are doing well. You know, I think it's hard to argue that Instagram or Snapchat is losing at this point. The question is who's winning more is really probably the bigger question here. I also love that we've got you in a professional work environment in New York City right now. And like right now you would normally be yelling at me, but you're in a space where you can't do that. And I love that.
Yes, I'm whispering.
I can't ignite like crazy Kenny right now. And so we have you trapped. So I feel like really saying some things that are going to stir you because I know you're not going to erupt.
Yeah, we're going to need to have a second round or I'll have to step outside.
we're going to live into this boxed in Kenny that we have on today's podcast. Okay, so you, the other prediction that you're making that I think is very interesting is kind of who's going to win this kind of group video conferencing social experience. I agree with you wholeheartedly on who's going to win this. I was actually in one of those like Froyo places the other day, and there's this table. Like I'm one of these like teen stalkers that are like, what are they playing on? What are they messing with? And here's what they did: they had like four of them, all had different people on FaceTime while they were sitting at the table. All of them had their mobile devices out. All of them had somebody else on FaceTime, and they were like showing each other their screens. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I remember thinking, is this something normal or is this table? And then you've been pressing into like these group video to talk about where you see this going. We use Zoom, but Zoom is like a professional group video chat. There's going to be probably some kind of social experience. Where do you think that's going?
I think you look at the progression of what all the mediums and platforms have been doing, right? It's text-based, then it's real-time chat, then it's images, then it's videos. Then now we're trying to experiment with FaceTime Live, Instagram Live, et cetera. That's one way. The chat backs have a delay. It's not really working well. Steve Cannell just did some YouTube Live stuff where they've demonstrated that the actual chat delay response is much shorter. So then you're allowed to, you can actually have conversations with people that are watching you. But this is all going toward one direction, and that's real-time dual video interactive sessions. And it's not just one-on-one, it's one-to-many. So you're going to have groups. And that's why I say, you know, the app that has taken everybody by the storm overnight under the radar has been House Party. Yep. Right? House Party, you know, I don't know if you know the details, but it's the Meerkat folks. Meerkat lost the game with Periscope and Instagram Live. And right. And so those guys apparently overnight have been building this secret app. They actually released it under a ghost name, accrued over 1 million users pretty much overnight, less than a year. And now it's all the rage. I think my prediction is that they're going to be acquired or there's going to be copycat scenarios from all the major networks.
So who do you see copycatting? Obviously Facebook's going to copycat in some way. Do you see that maybe being in a separate app? It'll be like the Facebook House Party app, or what? How do you see that playing out in the social ecosystem?
Yeah, I think it's a race. I think Facebook has, you know, the army of developers behind them. I don't know if you know, but Facebook Video is so versatile right now that Facebook Live and other videos are already Apple TV compliant, I believe Roku compliant, Chromecast compliant, so that when I'm watching a Facebook Live, literally I just click the top. There's a button, top right hand button, and then it just lights up Apple TV and just send it to the screen. And you can keep watching that video even after you exited the app, right? Mm-hmm. So Facebook is now, it's almost surreal, taking the Facebook experience out of Facebook itself and owning that experience with you. And so it's just one more step away before that I'm going to be able to do Facebook Live on a larger screen like Apple TV and doing video conferencing with one-to-many. It just makes more sense. That larger screen has more real estate, and you can have a Zoom experience with 20 different people. That's going to happen really quickly. You know, the Facebook made that prediction within 5 years, 95% of the content's going to be video. Everyone poo-pooed that when they first said that a year ago. And at this point, you can see how it's going to happen.
It's crazy. So how should church leaders be thinking about that? What should be going through their mind as they see this development growing in the future?
Yeah, first, the church online is going to change. I think the church online community is going to be like an ostrich, the head in the sand, if they don't understand that they have to stop broadcasting via their website and they have to broadcast through these platforms. The fact that now you have, it's probably easier, cheaper, faster to broadcast live through Facebook Live, encourage your people to put it on the big screen at home or work, wherever they're watching it from. And they have the interactive chat right there built in, right? Mm-hmm. And recordings. So everything's wrapped up in there. Why don't we see more churches adopting that right now? Shortcutting the process, getting out of the the Life Church online platform or proprietary system or live stream or even other apps, you know, that try to mediate that experience.
Interesting. So much in development. Let's backtrack a little bit too, as we're just getting into practical church advice. Going back to Snapchat and Instagram, how would you advise a church to approach those two platforms moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what Gary Vee says, you got to do both. The answer is all. You got to do now. On a very practical basis, I think you start with Instagram because it's tied to Facebook. It's got the larger audience, and it's probably that's the growth engine demographic for most churches out there. But if you've got a robust youth ministry, if you're, I just talked to a youth pastor in Texas. They had their youth ministry so big that they have grade level pastors. So the sixth grade pastor had 250 kids that they watched over. That's a church in itself.
Yep.
In that environment, Snapchat makes total sense to go after.
Yep.
But if you're trying to prioritize, if you're asking me A or B, I would say it's Facebook, Instagram, then Snapchat.
Wow. Interesting. And churches are always asking me, where should I be? And what they want to do is do everything. And it's like, no. Focus in one at a time here. And steadily expand and you'll build your systems. I generally say that the four to focus in on, because they want to do Pinterest and Google Plus and, you know, all of those. But I say Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And then fifth is Snapchat. And it really depends on your demographic. Or I still think Pinterest has a relevant space in the right situation, or LinkedIn, you know, has a unique opportunity in the right situation.
Completely. LinkedIn, I don't know if you know, 40% of users log in every single day.
Every day. It's crazy.
No one thinks about that, right? And even on YouTube, with YouTube Live going to be big this year, I think I would escalate that even be ahead of Twitter. You need to really think about YouTube for churches. Stephen, our friend Stephen Cannell, is it Cannell or Cannell? Is it Cannell or Cannell?
Cannell.
Cannell, right?
So YouTube influencers, those that aren't interested, you've got to go watch his stuff.
It's correct. And he's owning that YouTube video for churches market, right? So that is something you have to pay attention to. This year, I have a blog post that all put up the stats and said, 2017 is the year of video. If you haven't ventured into it, you need to do it. Otherwise, you're going to be the parents or the grandparents with the blinking 12 o'clock on the VCR, right? That's who you're going to be. And no one wants to be that demographic.
Yep. We are in a transitional time. So Kenny, do you have any other predictions that you want to put out there for our listeners, so that I can pick on you a year from now when you were so wrong? Just put it out there. Go ahead and put it out there.
Yeah, I'm watching 360 video to figure out what's going on with that and virtual reality. I think the leap that needs to be made for producers is for someone who owns a 360 to be able to turn that into a VR experience pretty quickly, almost in an Apple-esque way that just works and works instantly.
Yes.
Once that happens, I think you think everyone's a robot attached to their phone now. We're going to be putting on our VR goggles and living in that within the next 24 months.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I'll tell you, my brother-in-law owns a Chick-fil-A. He was just here. He's like, "Hey, did you get the new Chick-fil-A VR goggles?"
Oh,
like,
yeah, those are amazing.
You can go to Chick-fil-A, ask them for their VR goggles. They'll give you a set of Google Cardboard, and they have like Cows VR with a Z. Look it up. It's awesome marketing. Awesome marketing by Chick-fil-A. The church can learn something from Chick-fil-A. That's for sure. I'm with you on VR. We're actually at tvapp.church working on some VR stuff. We're also, and I'm going to tease this a little bit, working on an Echo app. And so I'm very intrigued by Amazon Echo and the trends that are happening there. That's outside of the social media world, but VR is very much a part of the social media world because I'm looking actually at Facebook's developers conference and half of their sessions are about VR. So if Facebook is focused on it, we better all be paying attention to this. And it's probably going to be here sooner than we think. Kenny, I love those insights. You really are the smartest person I know. And I we got to spend some time in California together this last week. It was so fun. We spent more time in California than we did when we both lived in New York.
Yes.
Together. But I'm still grateful for any time. And we got to have an horchata with you in the hood of Orange County. I want to speak a little bit about Church Butler. You're doing some exciting things with Church Butler. You want to share everybody with what you're doing with Church Butler?
Yeah, we've been working with, in our consulting experiences, working with large denominations and networks and realized that over 50% of the churches out there are 100 or less. And they're solo pastors, small organizations. You might have an assistant, volunteer-driven maybe. So communications is not the top priority. You don't have the bandwidth. And so there's two things that pastors have told us. One is they need the resources. They don't have the time to create the graphics. They don't have the time to create the videos. They don't have the time to create the infographics, the strategies, all the content. They need beautiful design content that's intentional and strategic and supports their ministry and growth plans. Number two is actually more important, and is that they need training. They need training for themselves. And they need resources. It's just like the number one thing that all pastors want is leadership development. That's the biggest gap. So they need training resources for specifically the communications function. And so this enterprise, this venture that we're putting out there is going to do two things. One is provide beautiful, intentional, strategic social media graphics and videos for every single day of the month that you're going to have access to. There's also an option as a completely, and we say white glove service. You give us the keys to your social accounts and we'll actually post them, schedule and do that. All you need to focus on is engaging with people. That's what the pastors want. Second one is every single month we're going to produce and release a progression of social media training resources, video teaching resources that you can use for yourself and for your key volunteers and staff members so that they get their game up to speed so that they're not just always behind the eight ball.
That's awesome. And Kenny, can you share, so where do they go to get this information?
It's the butler.church. So it's www.butler.church. Or if you're coming to Easter, we're releasing some free Easter resources for everybody. We just want everyone to benefit from the resources that we have. So you can go to butler.church/Easter and download a ton of free graphics, infographics, videos for Easter services.
You're very good. And if you're assuming it's expensive because Kenny's crazy smart, you are assuming wrong. I think Kenny's way undercharging for the valuable content that he's giving to church leaders. And I know I sure wish I had that when I was at CBC because we would be the first subscribers on Church Butler. And so I can't encourage you guys enough to get on there, take advantage of this. It's going to save you time and just having access to Kenny and his insights and wisdom and the other people he's bringing into help around kind of coaching and training. It's tremendous. It's such a valuable asset to church leaders. So I appreciate Kenny, you doing it and doing it affordably. So Jay and I, with our passion around tvapp.church, is we wanted to make technology affordable. And I think you want to do the same thing, Kenny, around social media is I want to make social media content affordable and training affordable to church leaders. And we want to make it as easy as possible for you. So I love it. It's awesome. How else can people connect with you personally, Kenny?
Yeah, Twitter's still my favorite network, although everyone has predicted the demise. It keeps on being resilient, but that's the best way. It's Kenny Jiang on Twitter, or you can go to my namesake blog at kennyjiang.com.
Awesome. Well, Kenny, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your wisdom and your insights. And I look forward to you having to buy me something in a year when my predictions are right and yours are wrong. Although I'm most likely buying you the horchata next time, and because you will probably be right. And I always lean into your wisdom and insights and predictions towards the future. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. We hope you will take a minute and just review it on iTunes. That will mean a ton to us. And we appreciate everything you're doing as you serve the church. See you guys.